CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, heck yeah. Performance-enhancing audio back in your ear hole. It is the SOC coming at you. How about a little bonus MMA today? I know what you're thinking. A lot of Boxeo fans. BC, you're letting us down. Rafe Bartholomew and I will be back this week. And we'll be back with a bang, folks. Okay, so believe that. But UFC 252 this Saturday, just too big of an event. Too big of a fight. DC, Stipe, 3. Not to go a little bit deeper. I know you heard Rashad Evans and myself break it down on our MMA edition on Tuesday. Now we have that teased and promised interview pod coming at you. Who do we got? We got Marlon Chito Vera, who's going to be in the co-main event of this Saturday's pay-per-view against rising star Sugar Sean O'Malley. Chito's going to break that fourth wall of profanity many times, and he's going to tell you why. He ain't no stepping stone this weekend for Sean O'Malley. And then we got the big one. We got DC. Okay. We got DC in the damn house. Okay. You can cheer him. You can boo him.
Boo me. I'm getting money and championship belts. What's up?
Yeah. What's up with that? Look, already one of the best interviews in the game, Daniel Cormier. This is a really good one. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm patting him. Yeah, he's media savvy and all that, but he's a genuine dude, and this fight matters to his legacy a lot, and he's going to talk about that. Talk about retirement. Talk about talking about, okay? We got a lot to discuss. I came at him inside shots, hot and heavy. I brought it. I brought the heat, and he was there to receive it. He was there to analyze it. He was there to bring it, and fired up about that one. As always, folks, you like this show, okay? Keep listening. Download, subscribe, tell a friend. 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, I don't know, Google something. Wherever the heck you're listening to this, thank you. Keep doing it. Spread the damn word on it. Check out what we got going on Morning Combat every Monday on Showtime's YouTube channel. Actually, on the Morning Combat YouTube channel, brought to you by the nice folks at Showtime. Don't forget there will be a Showtime Championship boxing card this Saturday, as well as David Benavidez defends his super middleweight title in that main event. I've got you. I'm coming at you with interviews with David Benavidez, with heavyweight Otto Wallin, who's on the undercard. You may remember he's the guy that roughed up Tyson Fury last year and nearly pulled the damn upset for the heavyweight championship. So check out that boxing pod this week. Check out Luke Thomas and myself Friday Showtime. We're going to host the weigh-in show streaming live. So check that out. Check it all out. All right. Check out this podcast as well. Thank you for joining us. The power's back on. Your boy BC coming at you. Hot, heavy, hard, all those weird things. Wow. All right. Hey, yeah. All right. Hope you're doing well out there, folks. You know the deal, right? I mean, it's up to us as a people to start making some changes, okay? Change the way we eat, change the way we treat each other. This quarantine life, it's wild. So please take care of yourself this week, especially, all right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I'm serious about that. Make sure you're living life correct. Make sure you're taking time for yourself. Make sure you're letting those in your life who you love and respect and need, make sure they know that, all right? Let's keep spreading, you know, positive vibes only, all right? Good vibes only, whatever. But take care of yourself, because it's wild out there. These are unprecedented times indeed, in life, in the fight game, and we are, though, very fired up about this weekend's fights. DC, Stipe, guys, this fight matters. This fight is as prestigious as it comes, and if you look at the first two, this trilogy has the potential to be the most competitive we've ever seen in MMA, and I mean that. I mean, you know, the stakes were always high. I know we had Kane and JDS 1, 2, and 3, and I know they traded wins, and then Kane won it, but, you know, that was not nearly as competitive, not nearly as dramatic and close as this one has been. And it matters for these two legends on Saturday. So I want to see what adjustments can be made. I always count out Stipe. Yet, can he figure out, as he did in the rematch when he figured out that path to victory through the body shots, can he figure out a new path to victory in this one as they're essentially even money? Or is it just more about, hey, DC, get in the best shape you can be. Wrestle more. Listen to your coaches. We'll get into that today with Daniel Cormier. Or maybe sometimes you just throw the game plans out the window and it's a blood and guts war. And if it gets there, they're both going to have a shot. But that's going to be the opening, I think, for Stipe. I mean, the uglier this fight gets, the more it's about heart and stuff like that. This is not a knock on Daniel Cormier's heart. He's one of the greatest fighters of all time. But that's Stipe's intangibles. That's his strength, his calling card. He's blue collar, baby. And I think that we will appreciate him more when he's gone. And I know that I've been slow in that appreciation process comparative, but he's one of the best. And I'm fired up for this weekend. Absolutely. And also what this weekend could produce based on the results.
John Jones, get your together. I'm waiting for you.
I know. Look, I know you're. It's not crazy to think about that. You know, you got to be thinking about that. All right. It's out there, despite what DC says, okay? You're going to hear what DC says about that coming up shortly. So here's what we're going to do, all right? We're going to take a quick pause for the cause. I don't want to waste any more of your time here. Right after this break, we're going to hear from Daniel Cormier, all right? A little word from our friends and sponsors. And then the former champ is here. DC coming at you, one of the best in the game in terms of just opening up that heart. He's gregarious, he's lovable, he's honest. It's Daniel Cormier. Enjoy.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
DC. The biggest fight. I think they're calling it the biggest fight of all time, DC, lately in the headlines here. How the hell are you doing emotionally just a little over a week out from this?
I'm feeling good, Brian. How you doing, man? Good?
Oh, yeah, I'm strong, fired up, ready.
I'm good.
All right, let's talk about this.
You're excited.
I'm always excited, okay, first of all. But look, this fight in particular, because of all those superlatives we mentioned, meaning like, you know, the biggest fight in heavyweight history, maybe this will be the enduring trilogy UFC has ever had. This could also be, you know, the fight that decides the, I don't want to say the legacy with one fight, but you get what I'm saying. So much history for two fighters in one fight, maybe the most I've ever seen. Do you have that same feeling? Are you preparing with that in your mind, like we are as fans and journalists ahead of this one?
Yeah, you have to. You know, I think when you look at what Stipe and I have done in the heavyweight division and in the UFC, you understand that you're fighting for legacy. I've said for a long time, Brian, and if you listen to any interviews going back to 8-10 years, you know, my legacy matters to me. And if I don't prepare with the idea that this fight defines who I am remembered as when I leave mixed martial arts, it will not allow me to leave no stone unturned. So I've prepared as if this will define me. It, you know, all the championship belts and all the victories and all the moments, they all have led to this third fight with Stipe Miocic. And I could not be happier to be in this situation with all that's on the line in terms of the fight, not only the title, but the legacy and the chance to be called the greatest heavyweight in UFC history. That's amazing. All that pressure is wanted in this camp.
So what's interesting to me is I've talked to Stipe a bunch, maybe a couple months ago was the most recent time, and he was like, I don't care about history. I don't care if I fight DC again. I don't know if he was posturing publicly at that time for negotiation purposes or what. But I said, look, you know, could this be MMA's answer to Ali Frazier? And he basically said, I don't care. Do you believe him when he says that? Do you care?
I care. You know, I care. I care about this tremendously. You know, I think towards the end of the fight being finalized, there was some frustration on Stipe's side. I don't know why, because every week I have a show on ESPN every week. So every week you got to hear me blabbing off about the fight, goading them into fighting. So probably a little frustrated with everything, but I think when he sits back and looks at everything in terms of historical and meaning of the fight, he's going to appreciate what we meant to each other. You know, being on the losing end of a great trilogy, will suck for him, but it will also have raised his profile because the level of fight that we've been involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. When I think Daniel Cormier, I think legend. Obviously, I think John Jones, your chief rival in your career. Is there a chance that Stipe Miocic becomes the chief rival in your career from this trilogy?
You know, I believe that Stipe and I will always be a great rival in mixed martial arts, you know, even after I win the fight next Saturday. But the reality is, anything I do in my entire life is going to be hard to top what Jones and I had. You know, I think I enjoy this rivalry with Stipe better because I don't dislike him as much as I dislike Jones. And it wasn't as, like, nasty. Jones and I, like, bring out some nasty parts of each other that I'm not sure is just there normally on the surface. But I believe competitively this is the rivalry that I've loved living in. But I don't know if anything that I will ever do or have done in my career will ever just completely eliminate that part of my life. You know, it was so big and for so long. I mean, you got to understand this Jones thing that we had. The press conference was in August, I think, of 2014, where we were supposed to fight initially. And that went all the way to July 2017. So for three straight years, it was always something about Jones and I, right? From the fight to the fight being scheduled multiple times and never happening to the second fight actually happening. And then, you know, what happened, and him being gone and coming back and me still being a champion. And it was just a whole bunch of stuff for like almost 4 years. So it's hard to think that anything is going to overtake that. But I do believe that the fight for the heavyweight championship does stand alongside it for sure.
All right, DC, we love you as media guys because, well, one, you're kind of one of us, but two, what you said earlier, you care about legacy, because I can't talk to enough fighters who say all that crap is for you and your nerd friends in the basement having something to talk about. Now, a couple things here. One, I'm recording this from my basement. Two, I'm a nerd. Three, I care about this stuff. So let's get really nerdy about your legacy, because when you beat Stipe the first time, you know, I was like a lot of people who said two things. One, DC has entered the upper room. He is on the, you know, he sits at the table with GSP, with Silva, with John Jones, with Fedor, with Mighty Mouse, and that's it. He is of that ilk. He's in the conversation for the greatest of all time. And I also said the other part of that, which is beating Stipe and becoming a two-division champ was really the only way that you could complete your career without beating John Jones, right? Like the only way you could lap that hole in your career. So the reason why I bring this up is this. When you lost to Stipe, I saw a lot of people go, hey, DC, great fighter, not in the GOAT conversation anymore. Could it actually be as simple as you need to beat Stipe one more time or you're not at that table?
You know, I think when I won that belt in July of 2018, my legacy was secured. And there's nothing that should change that. you know, the reality is Anderson Silva now has 9 losses. But when he loses to guys like Izzy, who now is the champ, who's phenomenal, and he loses to guys like, or he's in a fight like he was with Derek Brunson, that doesn't eliminate all the things that he did in the past. You know, we still got to look back to the times where, when Anderson Silva walked in there, it was an event. He was the greatest fighter in the world. George St. Pierre, you know, he could come back and he fights Habib and he loses. That won't change anything. You know, BJ lost to Henry Cejudo. That doesn't change anything. If it's that simple, then what does it truly matter? You know, you can't revisit things and just change the way that you perceive things. I think all the things that these phenomenal fighters have done should stand the test of time. And for me, I'm trying to fight this fight for me. You know, I want to win this belt back for me and my family and my team. And if people don't recognize the things that I've done in mixed martial arts right now at this point, there's nothing else to do. Because anytime you're a first, when you can go into a sport like MMA and you're a first at something, when you're a first at something so big, you've got to be considered one of the greatest to do it. Especially when that first is being the first guy to defend championships in 2 weight divisions or the first fighter to win championships in 2 weight classes and defend them both. That's something that's so big that people never even dreamed of. So when you're the first to do that, there's no way people can chip away at your legacy.
Yeah, great answer, and please don't listen to any of the nerds when they say stuff like that. I've asked you this before, and I want to ask you this one more time. Obviously, we can't go back and change history, but had you stayed at heavyweight forever and never went the John Jones road, never became the light heavyweight champ, I've often said, you know, you either would be the greatest heavyweight right now without discussion, or maybe it would have come down to you and Kane and it would have been a tie. But if you weren't such a great friend and you never did this for Kane, do you ever sit back at night and wonder, you know, how different at all your legacy would be right now, whether it would be a slam dunk that you'd be the greatest heavyweight of all time if you had stayed there?
I just think that when you spoke about sitting at the table earlier with the greatest fighters of all time and being in the conversation, I don't think that happens if I didn't go down to 205 and become a champion and beat everybody else and go back and become the heavyweight champ. What truly defined me was the fact that I was able to combine them together and do them both and beat guys and beat so many talented guys in easier fights and harder fights and big moments and smaller moments. I was able to like withstand all of that. So even though I do believe that I could have had a major amount of success at heavyweight, me going to 205 was the best thing for me. And honestly, at the time, like, Kane was the man. And even now, like, I never would have wanted to fight Kane Velasquez. And for a multitude of reasons, right? One, he's my friend and I love him to death. But two, I'm not sure you can beat Kane Velasquez, if I'm being completely honest, especially at the time. Like, I couldn't beat Kane Velasquez. So, like, going to 205 was great for me in terms of giving myself a chance at being a champ. And also, I felt like I was going down into a division with a guy that wasn't as dangerous as Velasquez is.
Yeah, that's a fair answer right there. I know you've seen Rocky III, and, you know, they had their trilogy, but they did it with no fans, no journalists. They said, ding, ding, and they did it for pride. If you beat Stipe and become the GOAT, maybe Kane sends you a text message and says, Daniel, let's do it in the gym.
No chance.
No spectators, because I got to find out for myself.
We fight each other enough in the gym. That's enough for me. I know I don't want those problems. Those right. problems are fair enough in sparring. I don't need Kane Velasquez trying to hit me as hard as he possibly can.
I respect that. All right, enough legacy, enough Kane. Let's talk Stipe. Let's talk the third fight. To talk that, you got to go back to the second, though. Is it as simple to say two things when you look at what happened in the second fight and you use that to prepare for the third fight? Number one, you abandoned your wrestling. And number two, you may not have had the cardio you would have wanted or should have had for that fight. Are either of those true entering this third fight? Mm-hmm.
I did not have the cardio I needed for that fight. But sadly, you can convince yourself of anything when you're preparing it. But we made a lot of concessions in that training camp. Back first feeling a little tight. Let's slow it down. this starts feeling a little tight, let's slow it down. Like, it was always, let's slow it down, let's be safe. When in reality, if you're fighting for the championship of the world, you can't be safe. You have to be able to go and do everything necessary to prepare yourself. And I made a promise to myself before this training camp even started. It was, if I can't prepare as I did to fight Alexander Gustafsson back in 2015, John Jones every single time we fought, I'm just not going to fight. And I've been able to prepare myself. And if I hadn't been able to, I wouldn't have fought. So just coming to terms with the idea that you have to be willing to just step away and leave things as it is if you can't prepare yourself the way you're supposed to.
Yeah, that is very fair right there. As you prepare in your heart, and I mean, I don't like asking this question, but everybody's going to ask you it. What percentage are you right now that this is the last fight of your career?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, man. I feel sure about everything. I'm at ease with everything. I feel calm. I feel happy. I feel complete. You know, and the only thing to finish this journey is to win the heavyweight championship again. Like, I feel good, man. Everything is in place. The training has been great. I've worked hard. I've worked long. I just pulled up a video today from April 9th. April 9th was when I started running and doing stuff to get myself prepared for this fight. And I was out of shape. I was exhausted and could barely breathe. But on April 9th, I made a decision that I was going to make sure I was prepared come August 1st, because that was supposed to be the date. But it's August 15th now, and I'm prepared for everything that surrounds the fight. Now, am I ready to do all the theatrics after the fight with the gloves? And no, I'm not ready to do all that. I want to go to Vegas to win my championship back. That's it. It's all I want to do. I want to go beat Stipe Miocic, be able to say that I beat him 2 out of 3, and I won the heavyweight title. That's it. For me, that's what matters. The retirement and everything else, it's kind of just a part of the story. But ultimately, it's about the fight, you know? I've got a big future outside of fighting. And for me to start looking too closely at that becomes too valuable a prize to worry about and to focus on whenever you got one of the most dangerous fighters of all time standing across the aisle down from you.
Yeah, that is very fair to say. Even though if you do win, obviously Uncle Dana will eventually call you with a stupid amount of money and you'll have to make that decision. Curtis Blades told me he thinks, you know, you'll both retire afterwards. We'll have to see how the fight goes and we'll see what happens there. But quickly to circle back on that second fight, did you not respect his power enough, or is that an overblown way of looking at it?
No, you know, I think I just was fighting Stipe a bit emotional. I felt like he was there to be hit, and I just felt like I didn't fight a smart fight, you know, and that's a hard pill for me to swallow, right? Because I feel like I have a decent fight IQ, and I know how to go and do things in the way that you're supposed to, but I just didn't fight good enough, and I didn't fight hard enough, and, you know, Ryan, sadly, I was fatigued, and he went to the body, and he hurt me, and those last two shots up top really did mess me up. So I didn't feel like anything was hurting me until it's too late to realize that it actually is. And I thought he fought a great fight.
The hot take machine spins for people in the journalistic game. You got to be quick. You got to have an absolute statement. And I'm going to stand by the statement I made after that second fight, and I want to hear your reaction. And I'm no Stipe hater, and I'm no DC super fan, but when I watched that second fight, I said, Stipe didn't win that fight. DC lost it. And I tell you that with respect, Daniel, the competitor within you, do you believe that?
I do. I feel like I let him off the hook. You know, I feel like I was winning the fight, the vast majority of the fight. I just went back and looked at the fight, and somehow I had lost a third round, but I landed double the shots in the third round that he did. And I don't know if maybe a team got a takedown in that round for like 5 seconds. Maybe that's what gave him the round. I don't know what, but like, I felt like it should have been 3-0 me going into the fourth round. And I do believe that I'm a better fighter than Stipe Miocic. I feel like I can grapple better, wrestle. And I feel like even in stand up, like I've got a more well-rounded game and I can beat him everywhere. And I intend on planning that proving that on Saturday. I'm not going to allow for him to dictate this fight to me.
Yeah, all right. Let me close with this, DC. Always, always a pleasure to talk to you. When you imagine what it's going to feel like, you may, who knows, if you win, you may retire in the cage. We don't know what's going to happen. Only you do, and only you will in that moment. But when you put your head to the pillow at night, what does it feel like? What does it sound like? What are you going to feel like if you win this trilogy?
Well, when I win the fight on next Saturday, I'm just going to feel happy. You know, just feel happy that this career has been better than I ever could have envisioned. I could never have dreamt that I would be where I am today in terms of my life, in terms of my legacy and career. I never would have thought that I could be this person. You know, everybody starts in martial arts with a dream to be the best, to be the UFC champ, and to have Dana wrap the belt around your waist. I lived that dream. And I got to live that dream on so many different occasions. And my life is so much better for all those experiences I had. So I would lay on that pillow and say to myself, like, it actually went better than we ever could have thought. When I left Oklahoma in 2009, they called me Kung Fu Panda, all my friends did, because I didn't know how to strike. I couldn't punch. I didn't know what I was doing. But I had this dream to go and fight. And someday, fight in the UFC. This was when UFC 200. I never would have thought that 11 years later, I'd be the guy that is at that table, you know, in the conversation for one of the greatest fighters of all time. So it's a beautiful thing. It's been a great ride.
And to think people actually booed you at UFC 200. What's wrong with these people, DC? Anyway,
no, I mean, UFC 100. UFC 100 was when I was watching Brock fight Frank Mir and GSP beat Thiago Alves. I was like, man, I want to do this. So
you did it. You did it. The mountaintop is the third Stipe fight. Best of luck. Thank you for the time and being candid as always, sir.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, special thanks to DC. Look, I said it, and I'm not tooting. All right, well, I might be below the belt. I'm not tooting my own horn, but that's a fantastic interview, and that's all credit to Daniel. You challenge him about the things that matter, and he's going to answer. I love the honesty. He cut corners ahead of that second Stipe fight, and it cost him. It cost him in terms of his overconfidence of coming in with his hands down and not worrying about what Stipe's power would do. He stopped listening to his coaches, stopped wrestling, but most importantly, was not in five-round championship shape, and it caught up to him. And you got to be your toughest critic to be at the top and to be able to, you know, accept that you did that, take that L, as they say, and be able to fix it. And look, all things considered, I gave it to you on the preview pod this week. I think this is Daniel Cormier's fight to win. 100%, 1,000%. Stipe can win it. You make a mistake, Stipe will beat you. But I think category for category, this is Daniel Cormier's fight. This is his rivalry, and it always has been. It's up to him to produce, and it's up to him not to make a mistake. It's up to him to not gas out, because Stipe is going to be there. Those intangibles are rock friggin' solid. But shout out to Daniel. I respect that he wants this to be his last fight. I also fully respect and expect that that Brinks truck is going to back up. Beep, beep, beep. And Uncle Dana will be driving, and there'll be many a million back there. And it's time to fight John Jones a third time for that heavyweight title if DC wins this weekend. Heck, that same scenario, by the way, could happen to Stipe if he wins. It could also be both retire, as Curtis Blades thought. There's a lot of look, the heavyweight division is never deep. It's never deep, but it's hot. It's hot at the moment. We want to see if it's Francis Ngannou's time. We want to see if Curtis Blaydes is for real. We want to see if John Jones is moving up, if Gustafson can be a player. A lot of things I want to see, and we don't normally say that about this division. So fired up indeed. And why don't we get maybe the most exciting guy on this entire card? It's Marlon Chito Vera. All right, with respect to Sean O'Malley, no one's more exciting than Sean O'Malley, but they're going to run into each other on Saturday. And here's what's interesting. On paper, you feel like this is a let's shine a tough guy up for O'Malley to look great against in a big spot. And you kind of get those feels and call flashbacks to Chris Lieben against an incoming Anderson Silva. And, you know, and Andy, I love that fight.
I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah, man. And, you know, he beat the piss out of Chris Lieben. And I think we look at Lieben as this flawed tough guy journeyman, but man, he was like 5-0 in the UFC at that point. He was a tough ass out with bright potential, and you know, Silva's an all-time great. He sliced through him like a knife into a hot knife into butter, a hot one, okay? It could be that for Sean O'Malley. This could just be, you know, he's that great, and it doesn't matter at this point who you put in on the, let's say, B level. He's going to slice through the Bs. Or maybe he won't. Maybe Marlon Chito Vera, who just had his 5-fight win streak snapped in a close but disputed loss to Song Yadong and essentially got rewarded for his strong performance with this fight, maybe he ain't nobody's B fighter. Maybe he's B plus, A minus. Maybe, you know, and maybe this is that kryptonotic, if you will, test for Sean O'Malley. That's why I can't wait for it. We're going to hear from Chito now. He's fun. He's engaging. You want to love him. He's a wild man. He's got new tats for this fight. It's Chito Vera coming at you. Enjoy. Chito, Brian Campbell, CBS Sports. How are you?
Hey, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good, good. You all ready for me to chat with you now?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, man. You know what I'm talking about here. UFC 252 and the big-time co-main event. How fired up are you right now?
I'm happy, dude. I'm pretty fucking happy and good in spirit, and I cannot wait for this one. It's going to be a fun one.
I know you saw your opponent, Sugar Sean O'Malley, put the colors of your Ecuadorian flag in his hair. What'd you think about that?
I'm not sure, because those colors are the same colors of Venezuela and Colombia, so probably, I don't know, you know. There's not the logo type that we have in the middle, so yellow, blue, and red, there's so many countries with the same color, so I'm good with that. Okay. Why not?
Obviously, this is the biggest fight of your career, the biggest platform of your career. You know, when you look back on the road to get to here, what do you think about?
The fight's big, but I don't believe it's the biggest fight of my career. It's a big fight, you know. Every fight's big to me, and I treat every fight the same way because I train as hard for a newcomer, for a top five. I already been there, and you know. I don't have that excitement that people have lately about social media or stuff like that. Like, I don't fucking care about none of that shit. Like, I'm just focused on one thing, and that's to win fights and make money. The rest is just comes by, you know. So a lot of people is like too excited about it. I'm just excited about being competing. I'm excited about being healthy. I'm excited about being fighting, to be honest with you.
I can respect that. It's usually the fans, the media that get caught up in all the other stuff. So if you're not focused on the negative side or the trash talking side, what do you think about Sean O'Malley as a fighter, as a man entering this one?
Well, you know, he's a good fighter. There's a reason he's undefeated, you know. He's good at what he does. He's good at punching people in the right spot. He's good at make you make mistakes, you know, but everybody have good and bad. So, you know, I'm going to treat him the same way he treated my last 10 opponents. Like, you know, every fight that is coming up is the biggest fight of my career. I don't give a fuck if you have 1,000 followers or 1,000,000 followers. I'm not a social media person, you know, I don't get caught up in that bullshit. Like, you know, so to me, it's about fucking people up, having highlights, and cash to checks. That's what I'm all about.
Sean O'Malley has a lot of fans. A lot of people like the character of Sean O'Malley, not just the fighter. They think he's funny. They think he's all these things. Do you think he's overrated at all for the attention he gets, or is he right where he's supposed to be?
No, he's right. Good for him, you know. A lot of people is upset about that, but guess what? Everybody that is upset about it is people that don't have attention, that is in need for attention. And, you know, even fighters in the top five are hating because of that, because they have a shitty name, they're bored, and, you know, good for the guy. You know, the guy do a good job on everything, on fighting, on marketing, on talking. So good for him. Like I wouldn't hate somebody that is doing that or get a lot of attention. Why would I hate that? You know, that would make me hate it. And I don't get along with haters. You know, I like positive people that grind, goes forward. So if you got all the attention in the world, again, good for you. That's awesome. You know, how you get attention?
Yeah, absolutely.
Finishing people. That's what I do. So why am I gonna hate on somebody that have all the attention in the world?
Well, he's not the only one getting attention, because every time you fight now and people get excited, they go, oh, Cheeto's fighting. This will be a good one. And, man, that 5-fight win streak you had really opened up so many people's eyes. And then you fought Song Yadong in May. And, look, a lot of people thought you should have won that. It was the fight of the night. When you fight that well and the fight is close but you don't get the decision, how hard is that to take?
You know, it was, I of course get upset, you know, fuck the judges, but at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it, you know, like, I wouldn't change anything, you know, I won the fight, I broke the guy, I walked him down, I put the pressure, I land more, so, you know, the first night, of course, he was very upset, you know, I was upset, you know, but, you know, the next morning, I was just like, fuck it, it's life, you know, just let it go, and going forward from there, you know. I cannot have been sitting down, thinking about it, crying, you know. It's done. What is done is done. And to me, it's all about moving forward. And the UFC gives me a bigger, better fight in a coming event. So with that say, the UFC is treating me like a winner, you know. That's why Sonya don't even have a fight.
Yeah,
and he probably don't want to fight. So broke down.
I think you're right on the fact that you got a bigger reward. That it almost made it look like you won that fight for sure. You know, your pressure is your calling card. When you fight, you put it on the other guy. From what you've seen out of O'Malley, can he handle the pressure that you bring?
I will only know that the day we fight. You know, we all have our thoughts. Both corners are thinking they're going to win. So you only find that fight night. Looking back right now, I did everything I could do. I train hard. I eat well. I sleep well. I rest. You know, I'm not as dumb as, you know, all those fighters testing positive for marijuana. I stopped smoking, you know, 2 weeks from ago. So I'm doing everything right in my hands. I'm pushing myself. So I couldn't do anything else better, in my opinion. So I'm pushing myself. I'm motivated. I'm happy. I'm pushing hard, you know, so Sarah and I am going to bring it.
What's at stake for you in this fight?
Say that again, please.
What are you fighting for in this fight? What do you win? If you beat Sean O'Malley, what does that do to your career?
Money. I'm making money. I'm feeding my family. I'm providing for my kids. And I'm moving forward. And I'm, of course, jumping the whole top 10. I might be close to top 5. I'm beating a guy that have a bigger name than all the top 10. So I'm gonna pass those guys, because they can't deny it. It is a popularity competition. If you win fights and you're popular, you skip a lot of steps. So if I beat this guy, when I do it, I'm gonna be there. So they better give me somebody in the top 10 or top 5.
Yeah, absolutely. What is the feeling like in Ecuador right now for the excitement for this fight? How happy are the fans to see you get to this level, pay-per-view, co-main event?
It's hot. It's hot, and I like that. I like that pressure. I like that team that people is expecting a lot, because I'm expecting even more. You know, the bigger the better for me. You know, like, I don't get to the sport. I don't get to this game for pennies. I get this sport for being all in, for give it all, and I'm sure everything I've been working for in my life is going to pay off.
To be a fighter and to fight with a style like you fight with, you got to be fearless. Is there anything that Marlon Vera actually is afraid of?
I'm afraid of don't perform. I'm afraid of being a lazy person. I'm afraid of don't push myself. So that's why I wake up every morning on a mission. I'm afraid of become a fucking loser, somebody that don't have nothing to fight in his life. That's why I find motivation even in anything. I find motivation in myself. That's something that nobody can teach you. You gotta have it in your heart. You gotta have it in your soul. And I'm happy God gave me those skills. He don't give me probably the best skills in my body, but he gave me the best skills I believe a man can have, and it's a strong mind and a strong heart.
How much of that strong mind and strong heart is natural, or how much of that did you get from experiences in your life?
That came from experience. That came from the daily grind. That came from just living and trying so hard. And then you find bumps in the road. You find you make mistakes. You find the wrong people. So it's just the road. You find a lot of things. So I'm happy. I'm able to live this life, the life I always been chasing. And I'm happy. You know, I got three beautiful kids. I got a wife at home, and we're a team. You know, I work for them. They help me. You know, so. I'm in good spirits, and I like the life I have. I'm happy. So a happy man is somebody that can achieve anything.
Yeah, absolutely. When you watch Sean O'Malley fight, the thing that jumps out to me is not just the power, but the speed and how he sets that up. How do you prepare for a guy who's so explosive where he gets people out with one punch?
You find a sparring partners like that, you know. I have two solid guys in the gym. That one is a pro kickboxer, is a glory kickboxer, so he's a high level guy. And the other one's an MMA fighter, you know. So I got a little bit of the both things. I got the MMA style, and I got a kickboxer that set traps all over the place, and you know. And we've been training for years, so. So I think we have the right thing in the camp. I think we have everything we need. So I'm ready and prepared. You know, at the end of the day, you will never recreate the same exactly opponent, but you can adjust and find the most similarities for what you're getting for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you think this fight will be on the ground, standing? What are you expecting?
I'm just expecting a fight, so whatever the fight goes, I'm gonna be ready. My wrestling is sharp, my striking is crispy, and my ground is, you know, killer. So wherever we go, we're gonna fight, and I'm bringing cardio, strength, and a big pair of balls that I'm willing to go deep.
You fought once in the quarantine so far with no fans. How is it different than normal?
Honestly, there's no difference, you know, like, unless you're a person that only get hype and pump with the fans and the crowd. But to me, it's a fight. So to me, fans, no fans. I'm there to make money. I'm there to. So to me, like the fans, no fans. You know, I like a crowd arena just because it's good for the UFC. It's good for them. It's good for us. But you know, I also enjoy in the silence and the one on one on the fight. You know, you got your corners and he got his corners, and it's more personal. It's more like you can listen and feel more the energy of the fight. So I do enjoy this alone one on one because it actually takes a different demon that brings a normal fight. Because in the normal fight, you got the crowd, the cameras, people yelling, you know. Now it's just one-on-one, you know. Now you're not doing it for nobody but for yourself. So you better do it right. And I like that. I like that being alone and feeling that different pressure. So I enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy it.
Any new tattoos for this fight, Marlon?
I got my neck started up, and then I think, I don't know, I haven't worked on my leg. I did this before. My driver is huge in my whole leg. I think just my neck.
What'd you get on your neck?
I got a flower. I got to balance it out. I got a mean gorilla in one side, so I need like, to balance it out with a pretty rose in my neck.
I love it. I love it. I think the more times that American fans see you fight, they're just going to continue to fall in love with you. And the more times they hear you talk, they're going to be like, man, this guy's a badass. So what are you expecting when that fight is over, UFC 252, that people are going to be saying about Cheeto?
You know, I gotta perform first, but I prepare for that. So they're gonna love the work I put behind, and they will see who's the real one in this fight. So Saturday night, tune in because it's gonna be a good one.
Yes, Cheeto, bring those big balls as always, my friend. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, brother.
All right, special thanks for Cheeto Vera there, dropping F-bombs. I love that. I don't know if our guy Mikey Mormile, our all-star super producer, had to get out his block button a few times, but absolutely intoxicating here in Cheeto Vera talk. He's not about the social media. He's not about the trash talk. He's about the damn money, okay, folks, in Crushing Skulls. He's like that dude. Do you remember Days of Confused, one of the all-time great seminal coming-of-age high school party movies? Remember when the guy Clint, the badass greaser looking guy Clint, he made fun of the nerds, and the tall nerd played by Adam Goldberg, you know, balled up and manned up in that one moment when he was drunk and went after him and punched him, and then, you know, got sent to absolute hell. That one great line by Clint of like, you know, I only come here to do two things: drink some beer and kick some ass. And it looks like we're just about out of beer. I mean, that's legendary. And that's Cheeto Vera. He's coming here for two reasons, all right? You know what I'm saying? He only goes to that party to fill the keg cup and steal your girl. And the keg's tapped. So it's time to get to business. I'm really excited about this fight because you can look next level, supernatural, superstar as O'Malley has against a certain level of competition. But sometimes when you get to that next level, it levels off a bit. And sometimes you can still pass the test with your skills, but not be as spectacular. I mean, we say it a lot. Conor McGregor was spectacular for most of his career, but he was, you know, he had such a different, unique flair early on in his featherweight rise. Spinny shit galore. He tried wild stuff that you can't do when you climb that ladder and when the odds get bigger. And, you know, Michael Venom Page and Bellator MVP almost sort of kind of found that out against Doug Lima. So it's going to be interesting. Can he be as explosive? Or is he going to have to deal and dig into his bag of intangibles to try to figure this fight out? Can't wait to see it. It all goes down Saturday, UFC 252 on pay-per-view. You already know the deal, okay? If you haven't checked out the SOC MMA pod with myself, Sugar Rashad Evans, we break it down in painstaking detail. And check out CBS Sports HQ this week before the fight. Fight day, after the fight, Rashad and I have you covered there. If you don't know about HQ, it's your free 24/7 streaming network. Throw it up on your phone, smart TV, laptop, whatever. It's cbssports.com/live or cbssportshq.com, and you're going to get the live 24/7 news desk all the time, the analysis you need across all sports, betting odds, all that good stuff. So check that out. Check me out. Why don't you check yourself, baby? All right. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with that? Because I don't. So shout out to all the people we love. Sugar Rashad, shout out to you, the listener. Okay? You're going to have to deal with a couple things when it comes to BC.
I'm a white boy, and I'm jacked. Deal with it.
All right? That's it. That's all I got for you. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Follow me at @BCampbellCBS on Twitter, @BrianCCampbell on Instagram. And we got big news coming your way about fight audio at CBS, about a lot of big things about to blow up. So keep your ear to the wall, okay? Remember in college, your roommate next door was, you know, you know, right? You know, sometimes you put your ear to the wall. Okay, do that. This show's blowing up, all right? The other two words I had for you are, we out.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.